From WISU in Youngstown, this is Lincoln Avenue. My guest this week is Tony Budak. He's the coordinator of the Time Bank Mahoning Watershed, a service exchange community. I'm Sherry Lincoln. Welcome to the show. I want to start, Tony, with a real basic question. What is a time bank?
A time bank is an alternative currency system. There is a national, international movement amongst economists working to derive new ways of trading amongst individuals. One of them was devised by Edgar Kahn over 20 years ago. Edgar Kahn is an attorney and worked with Robert Kennedy. He was his assistant attorney general. Edgar Kahn founded the Antioch School of Law and founded time banking. Edgar Kahn also worked with Lyndon Johnson in the Johnson administration and founded legal services for poor people. Edgar Kahn's idea is that there's a core economy. The work, it's actually 40% of the economy that's going on in the United States is things that go on at home with moms and dads and family. For example, if moms didn't toilet train children, where would General Motors be today? That work is unpaid. That work is unrecognized. It's unrewarded. And time banking is a methodology to begin to address that gap.
Can you tell us how it works in fairly concrete terms?
Yes. In concrete terms, it's a database. People would join the database and list the services that they do, that they love to do, that they want to do, that they want to trade in doing, that they'll do for other people. So we ask people to record those on a website, and then to record on the website the services that they don't like to do or that they can't do or they would like to have people provide for them. This goes into an area called the marketplace, and they'll receive telephone calls or emails from people and begin trading.
And who keeps track of all of this, or is it all simply a sort of honor system?
It's tracked by the software program, and it's tracked by the individuals. When a trade begins to occur in the time bank, the individuals will negotiate the time, the details, by trading emails in what's called a banner or a border system. On the website so that each email is tracked and archived on the website. It's not done on your home computer, and it's there for posterity. And when people agree, there's a color code that goes from green to or from red to orange to green when the deal is finally consummated and the individuals are satisfied that they were service was accomplished correctly. And then they reward the other person out of their account with time dollars, or in so many words, time credits to the person that provided the service.
So if you do something for me, I'm not necessarily going to do something for you. I might turn around and do something for someone else.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Right. Well, that's just the way it works. It's putting money in your time credit account, or in this case, time credits in your account that you can spend anywhere else in the database. In fact, if you wanted to have acupuncture and there's no acupuncture specialist in the database, we encourage you to find someone that does acupuncture and ask them to work within the community and provide acupuncture for people who have limited income or provide, for example, we have a member in our time bank here locally who's a physician. She does pro bono work as a doctor, and she would like to record all of her hours in the time bank and then just give them to people in need that someone in the time bank would qualify for to have someone visit their home and read to them because they're bedridden, or provide a meal at home for someone who can't get out of the house to get to the grocery store. So there's a one-on-one exchange. Even if a person has 5 degrees in medicine, that's the same as someone who has no degree and they're just cutting grass. It's a one-on-one, 1 hour for 1 hour time exchange.
So there's no question involved about what the value of an hour of, say, medical care is compared to an hour of grass cutting.
Exactly. However, I want to emphasize that we're talking about a community. This is like a family situation. When people join the time bank, they're joining an extended family. an extended neighborhood. There are agreements of behavior, agreements of value, agreements of wavering liability, so that everything is based on trust. You don't get into the time bank unless you meet face-to-face with other people in the time bank. I sit down and meet with you, and we have an interview, and you provide us with two references, the signed agreements, and in addition, agree to have a background check, so that when people are trading within the time bank, they're assured that there's a high level of trust and security, and they can feel safe.
I think that raises a really key issue, because I would imagine that concern about feeling like you can rely on the person who's coming in, especially if someone's coming into your home, has to be a big issue. What kinds of things do you look at in a background check?
Well, actually, I haven't done any background checks as yet. We ask people to allow us to do a background check. That's a requirement. But we haven't got anybody that we felt was a high risk that we had to do a background check, or anyone that's filled out the forms who's indicated that they had a criminal record. Most of the people in the time bank right now are all my friends or friends of a friend that I really know on a personal level, and I really don't need to do any background checks right now.
That helps. It makes it a little bit easier to get started. Speaking of getting started, you mentioned a few minutes ago that this was started by Mr. Khan, who had been part of the associated with the Kennedy and Johnson administrations. That's back in the 1960s, suggests this has been going on for a while. From the initial idea, how did that turn into a movement? Because it's my understanding that time banks exist now in a whole lot of communities around the United States and across the world. How did that happen?
Well, alternative economic systems have been bubbling up for all the time that we've had trading going on in traditional economics. This one, I believe Mr. Khan started this as a job creation program. That's how I discovered it. It was a way to provide work for two people on a telephone and a journal entry in a three-ring notebook 20 years ago. They would charge people $10 to join the database, and it was done on lead pencil and a three-ring notebook. And I dropped the idea and came back to the idea 20 years later, and discovered that now it's beyond even an Excel spreadsheet. It's a database program. It's on the internet, and I think the fact that we've had the internet and we can automate many of the functions that these early practices were doing makes it a lot easier for ordinary people to get involved and to work the system. So I think that accounts for it. The other thing that accounts for it is that people's awareness and understanding that there's other ways to deal with poverty, there's other ways to deal with limited income, and that there's some solutions out there. So one of the other things, there's also a meeting of the minds within the social service provider network or nonprofit sector, where rather than looking at a problem or an individual or a need in the community, defining it negatively and then throwing money at the problem, this is a way to look at individuals, what their assets are. What are the assets in the community? What can we do to enhance and engender people to build on those individual assets and on their community assets? And time banking is a way to reward efforts that go in that direction. It doesn't cost any money to join the time bank, because the time bank, there's over 20 national and global foundations that support Time Bank USA in Washington. And we also get this little effort here in the Mahoning Valley. It was started by a local family foundation that I wrote a grant request to get a small amount of money to get a lease on this database that's already been in existence. So there seems to be a convergence of a lot of ideas and practices that they're making time bank, and not only time banking, but if people had been following this, there's Ithaca Hours up in Ithaca, New York. There's other alternative scripts being printed, but the beginning and easiest alternative currency is information. When people work for someone else, that data, that time that they do that, is information and bits and zeros and ones that's recorded in a computer. We don't have to worry about tax exemption. We don't have to pay income taxes on that. It's a very economic, easy way to have trading going on by trading in information.
You're listening to Lincoln Avenue on WYSU 88.5 FM. I'm Sherry Lincoln, and I'm talking with Tony Budak about Time Bank Mahoning Watershed, which, as we were just saying, is part of an international network of time banks that are happening all across the United States. And as you were just suggesting, there are some larger ideas behind this. That is, on the one hand, it's a practical way to get some things done. On the other hand, there's a kind of bigger vision. Part of that is that idea that everybody has assets. What are the larger kind of philosophical ideas that underlie time banking?
Okay, well, most of the time when you are involved with something, there's always rules. There's, if you're in a corporation, there's the corporate charter. If you're in a union, there's a union contract. If you're on a football team, there's the way you play the game. Well, here we're talking about the game of community. I don't think it's really a game, and I don't mean it that way, but I'm implying that there are rules and values. And we want to emphasize that not only are people assets, but we're redefining what work is. When you're doing the dishes at home, when you're taking a breakfast to your grandmother, when you're working on your neighbor's car and changing his muffler, when you're looking out for the block watch group, when you belong to the Italian American Club and you're staging an event to bring the traditional culture up and practice it for the new generation, that's new work. That's work that's unrecognized, and we're beginning to see that this work in this core economy that's unpaid needs to be honored and respected. Also, another rule in the game here is called reciprocity. If I do something for you, we've created a way with time banking for people to get rewarded, not on a one-on-one in a barter or an equal peer-to-peer exchange, but a way for them to receive reciprocity out of sequence, out of the immediacy of the moment, yet there's a way for them to get back what they contribute to the community by going into the database and looking at people, again, as assets and seeing what they can contribute. By doing this networking and talking with one another and creating conversations through these exchanges, we create new relationships, new friends, and we begin to bring new people into the game, or really what we're talking about is the community of time banking members. What this does is build respect and honor for one another in this new way of living. And so this is the rules of the game, these core values of time banking. Again, they're asset building, redefining work, reciprocity, social networking, and respect.
On the National Time Bank website, there's a whole section that talks about the idea that time banking is a way to address social justice issues. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about how exchanging labor and this kind of building of a network helps to build social justice.
That is very interesting. I am intrigued, and there's 600 time banks in the British Isles, and in Gloucester, which is, I guess, outside of London, the community is called Gloucester, the prison system there has a time banking system. The individuals in prison work on bicycles. They repair bicycles and refurbish bicycles, and those hours that they're working are then credited in their time bank. They can then take those time bank hours and transfer them to their wife or their daughter or son or someone outside on the other side of the wall of the prison, and then that family member can use those hours and spend them in the larger community to get services provided for them. So this builds a bridge between people in prison and people out of prison where they can contribute back to the community. There's also in Washington, D.C., a thing called the Youth Court, where teenagers are paid time credits for judging and for handling juvenile delinquents in, I guess you would call them hearings or matters of criminality, and they're brought before their peers. And not only are the individuals that are evaluating this getting paid in time credits, but the sentences are that you will do so many hours of community service and you will earn time credit. So we're hoping that these new behaviors and practices by young people go beyond the youth court but actually spread out into the neighborhood of young people in the community. That's all I can think of now at the top of my head.
Those seem like ideas that help to give value to forms of work that, as you suggested a few minutes ago, might otherwise not get recognized at all. I wonder about the other side of this. Does that idea of redefining work and of giving exchange value to things rather than monetary value to things create any kind of challenge to people who are in the paid workforce or the idea of paid labor? Is there a connection between those two, what we might think of as halves of the economy?
No. This is a parallel system. One of the agreements in the enrollment form is that time, dollar, participants, and activities will not displace people that are getting paid federal dollars. What you're doing here is tapping into an unrecognized economy. People are working amongst their neighborhood, in their social associations, in their families. They're doing this work, and it's just not getting recorded. It's ongoing right now, parallel with the federal dollar economy. So all we're doing now is tracking it and beginning to formalize it with this approach using computers and these agreements, establishing a more formal network and relationship.
Now, when you say federal dollars, you don't mean funding from the federal government. You mean green
dollars.
Right,
I mean green
dollars.
George Washington dollars.
Okay. You know, Does the same thing apply with small local businesses? I was wondering about the example, say, of someone cutting your lawn versus hiring a lawn service. Is there any reason for small businesses to feel concerned about this idea that people will enter this alternative economy?
Well, again, these, the kid down the street is cutting grass right now, or someone is thinking about starting a business. And will probably be practicing making jewelry or building birdhouses or whatever their widget or gadget or service is. They're doing it prior to getting a business plan, prior to formally entering the economy, and they're getting paid or trying to get paid in greenbacks. But what we're talking about is when those initial baby steps occur for a new micro business, a new startup business. Here's a way for people to practice the skills to begin to see what the market is. They develop a work history. They develop people that they can go back to that they provided services and products to. And by the way, we didn't mention that we can do products, but they can go back to those customers that they had in the time bank and get references and use that to leverage up to a more legitimate, or I don't want to say more formal greenback way of running a business in a capitalistic way. So this is a way for people to enter into the formal economy.
So these two economies can complement each other as opposed to competing with each other.
Exactly. They don't compete at all.
You're listening to Lincoln Avenue on WYSU 88.5 FM. I'm Sherry Lincoln, and I'm talking with Tony Budak about the concept of time banking and what has been happening and what's happening in some other places. As you suggest, this has been around for a while. You mentioned a while ago the fairly well-developed system, as I understand it, in Ithaca, New York, the Ithaca Hours system. That might be a good case for us to look at, to think about the effects of time banking on a community over time. Can you tell us anything about how that system has worked? I don't even know how long it's been around.
Well, it's more than 20 years. I can only speak to it in general terms, and also these general terms apply to time banking. One of the problems with local, greenback or federal dollars is if you go to the Walmart or the McDonald's, maybe 80% of that dollar you spend there leaves town. The idea of Ithaca Hours and the idea of time banking is to create a currency that does not leave town, to get the leverage effect that happens when that currency is bounced around from individual to individual and it gets multiplied and continually used. The problem with currency is it's in short supply. There's a competition to get it. The Federal Reserve only prints so much of it, and so we're competing in a dog-eat-dog world. Whereas Ithaca Hours, the board of directors of the alternative currency program there, determine and decide how many hours they want to print as a script. But in our case, in time banking, we don't even have to have a board. The individual creates his currency by working, and it just happens. So if you record the time that you do working, now you have time and currency that you can trade, and you've created it yourself. You didn't have to go to any board. You didn't have to wait for the Federal Reserve to create it. So, and that dollar, that time credit dollar that you've created in terms of time, is going to stay in the community because this is the Mahoning Valley Watershed Time Bank, and these, you know, currency exchanges are going to occur within the neighborhood, amongst associations, businesses, nonprofit groups, block watch groups, whatever, right here in town, and this money's not leaving.
All of which sounds like a great idea. I know you're just getting this started in this area. What do you see as the obstacles to getting time banking to work?
Oh, consciousness. I call it the mental attitude that people see that this can be a good thing for the community. Instead of saying, this will never work, and looking at it negatively, trying to find people who will work together to practice time banking is the problem. So, I know from bulk mail order handling, I guess it's about 0.03%. If you send out 100 letters, you might get less than 1% getting a response. In business startups, if you have 10 business startups or even 100 business startups, you may only get 2 or 3 businesses that succeed, and maybe one after a long time that really is going to exist. So this is the same kind of problem that any startup has, finding people that are willing to work at it over a long period of time and have the passion to do this. And so I have this chicken or egg problem. I have the, I don't know which is which, the chicken or the egg here, but I have the concept, I need the people. So that's the purpose of this show here, is to get the word out, ask people to, come to our website, come to our meetings. We have 2 meetings a month in Girard at the Girard Free Library on the first and third Monday at 4:30, and join us in creating this alternative economic system here in the Valley. Sooner or later, I'm going to have, I'm not going to have, like Jesus had, 12 people. I'm going to have more than that. I feel so strongly that this thing is going to work.
Is there a critical mass that you have to get to for this to work its best? I mean, I can imagine that it could work among a very small group of people, right. But is there a level of participation at which point time banks really work well?
I believe there is. I don't know what that is. The more the merrier, the more services that are offered and the more services that are requested, the more dynamic, the more exciting, the more needs and wants and offers are going to be met. One of the ways to see if this thing is working is my way of evaluating a meeting. If I go to a meeting and there's no excitement, there's no passion, there's nobody trying to talk, it's a bad meeting. But if there's people exchanging conversation and they're excited about what's going on in the meeting, then it's a successful meeting. So you can have a very successful meeting of 2 people because it was a very good meeting. If you have 20 people, so it really doesn't count on critical mass, on numbers. It counts on passion and involvement. And we already have some of that in a small way, and I hope that we can increase that.
Well, speaking of passion, I actually want to go back to your passion about this, because you said something earlier that I thought was really intriguing, that you had heard about time banking about 20 years ago, and that you just recently decided that now was the time to do it. And I wonder, what inspired you to do this now? And I guess part of that is wondering, do you see things in this community that make it an especially good time to be doing this right now? Or do you see things in the larger economy? What's driving you at this point?
Well, I've always been fighting the good fight. When I was in the Army, I was an MP, cop. I became a criminal investigator. When I was working for Delphi here in the Valley, I was a supervisor, and I got terminated as a supervisor because I was fighting the good fight, and I became a union activist in the shop floor. During the course of that time, I began to try to figure out, when the steel mill shut down. Look, I'm from Youngstown, and that was a traumatic thing for me. And so that's when I first looked at job creation programs and when I discovered time banking. At that time, it was a job creation program. And I put it aside, and I continued to raise my family and go to work. Now I retired in 2004, and I said, well, what am I going to do? I have this skill set. I have a passion to be involved with people. And it seems like to me that there's this new energy, this up-and-coming generation of young, creative, entrepreneurial mindset that's in Youngstown to rebuild Youngstown from the grassroots. And this is a perfect time for me to become a community organizer. I had never been a community organizer, and so I'm just jumped in, and here I am doing it.
Do you think that the state of the current economy, I'm thinking about things like, you know, people being laid off from jobs, the high cost of gas, the increasingly high cost of food, all of the things that are creating challenges, I think, for people across the board, does that create a greater need for this kind of exchange, for us to pay more attention to the value of the everyday unpaid work that people do?
Absolutely. There's... Actually, my personal vision here is that this is just a baby step, and that this will grow and grow. And really, you know, there are people in time banking who trade cars. They purchase their whole car. They're all the clothes on their back. They work totally within the time banking system, and they're sort of like off the grid, off the federal dollar economy. Now, that's my personal vision. I hope I would like to see that happen here. I don't know if it will. Again, it's only going to happen if the people in the Mahoning Valley want it to happen. And again, that's my invitation. Do we want to have this kind of a fair deal, local economic system or not? Do we want to control our local economic system? Time banking is the first step. If we can pull this off, then we can move into alternative scripts. We can then create community social compacts with businesses, that so much money that goes into a business will stay in the community to provide a sustainable economic system for the residents of the Mahoning Valley rather than leave in town. But first, we need to begin to have experts and to begin to understand and practice these baby steps before we're ever going to be mature enough to run our own local economy.
As you've studied the time banking system and as you're working on creating this here, what do you see from the communities that have been successful as the most important steps for you and your colleagues to take to get this thing going?
Well, I'm practicing this step in the sense that I'm trying to get people to use the time bank. When you talk to people, you say, well, is it working? How many people do you have? A successful model is like a picture. It tells 1,000 words and explains everything. So practice makes perfect. That's what we need to do, is we need to practice it. The problem is that, you know, people, well, I don't have time to volunteer. I'm not asking you to take extra time to volunteer. You're already 40% of your time during the course of the work week or the day or however you want to define it is already giving of your services as a giver. All I want you to do is to record this and have your participants put this down so that then you're going to get back for what you're already giving. Right now you're giving and you're not getting back.
Tony Budek, I want to thank you for coming on to talk about the Time Bank Mahoning Watershed here on Lincoln Avenue. You can learn more about Time Bank Mahoning Watershed and the whole time banking movement by visiting the Lincoln Avenue blog. I'll post links there to both the national website and the local website, and you can find out much more about how it works. All of that on the Lincoln Avenue blog. On the blog, you can also offer your comments on this idea. We'd love to hear what you think about it. You'll find a link to the blog on the WYSU website, wysu.org. You can also listen to this show again, pass it along to a friend, or sign up for our weekly podcasts. You've been listening to Lincoln Avenue on WYSU. I'm Sherry Lincoln. Thanks for listening, and have a great evening.